This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Betts with my good colleague Bill Raggio, a senior fellow Foundation for Defense of Democracies. And our go-to man on Ukraine and NATO is John Hardy of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. There's a big feature story in the Financial Times about the Ukrainian draft centers and controversies over abductions on the street or brutality or people escaping from the draft centers who do not want to go to the front lines. There's also controversy over who will be drafted and who volunteers. Bill, you have a question for John.
Hey John, I've been seeing videos and reports of the Ukrainian basically dragooning civilians into the military for years now. Why does a story like this gain prominence? Why does this also suddenly come to attention? And what does the fact that the Ukrainians have to drag people off the street to fight on the front lines say about the fighting spirit of the average Ukrainian male?
Since this issue in Ukraine, if you are on Ukrainian social media, you'll see like videos go viral where conscription officers are, dragging a military age man into a van or something like that. These videos are pretty commonplace. But it's just a sensitive issue in Ukrainian society. I think, if you look at the Russian and Ukrainian approaches kind of side by side, the Russian approach since 2022, when they did one round of forced mobilization, since then they've turned to just large financial incentives that are growing all the time to attract recruits. And sometimes those recruits are kind of coerced into signing a contract, but often it's just that financial remuneration that attracts them. The Ukrainians obviously don't have as many funds. They tried an initiative to recruit 18 to 24 year olds using financial incentives. It really wasn't very successful. I think partly because they just don't offer the contracts aren't really that attractive. So that they rely on this forced mobilization. I think in both Russia and Ukraine, when they've done this, if you look at when the Russians did forced mobilization, it was also a very messy process, partly for some different, capacity issues, that their mobilization system was overloaded, but also partly because many people didn't want to be forced to go fight. So I think that, these videos can give the impression that, Ukrainians are, tired of fighting. I think that's in one sense true. It's hard to speak to any soldier on the front lines who's, been fighting for 3 years or more who is not, very tired. At the same time, I don't get the sense that the Ukrainians are going to break anytime soon. So, I think, unfortunately, Ukrainian forces at the front, who often aren't rotated out of positions for weeks or months at a time, are just going to have to continue bearing that burden. And I suspect they will, by and large.
John, what is the explanation from Kyiv up to date about why the draft doesn't include the younger men in Kyiv or in the various countries where they've moved since the war? What does the government say? Why not?
Yeah, so as you alluded to, the Western countries, especially the United States, had for a while pressured Ukraine to lower its mobilization age to mobilize 18 to 24 year olds. Kyiv has resisted that. Ukraine has a pretty tough demographic situation, shortage of young men. I think they probably could spare a few tens of thousands of young men to go fight. But this is, also another politically sensitive issue. So I think that, the Ukrainian approach is to try to have the older generations, bear that burden and kind of preserve their future. Manpower is still a really big issue for Ukraine. You don't see as much about this in the press this year compared to last year. But, the issue absolutely remains salient. And it's a key problem for many units at the front.
Bill, you have a question.
John, commanders on both sides have told us over time, the Russians are running out of manpower, the Ukrainians are running out of manpower. How could people have been so wrong about this? So the Russians clearly have not reached the bottom of the barrel. And the Ukrainians, even though they have a significantly smaller population, they're able to, even if they have to force some people to fight at the front, they have been able to man their units. So how has everyone gotten this so wrong?
Well, I think that analysts are right to say it's a really important issue. You know, I don't think many of the smarter analysts out there have been saying, okay, the Russians, Ukraine's going to run out of troops. I think the question is whether the Ukrainian forces could be worn down to the point where their lines do break. And, you know, that's a possibility, not one that I think is likely, but it can't be ruled out. I think on the Russian side, you know, you look at these ever increasing kind of signing bonuses and other socioeconomic benefits that are offered to recruits. And you say, okay, well, clearly the Moscow is having a little bit hard time getting recruits if they have to increase the incentives. But, you know, it turns out that recruitment seems to be pretty price sensitive, meaning that, you know, when they increase the bonuses and whatnot, the Russian population responds with more people wanting to sign up. You know, how long the Moscow can keep that up, you know, remains to be seen. At some point, I would imagine that, you know, you reach a point where no amount of money can it will be enough to kind of continue recruiting enough troops to replace losses. But, you know, we haven't reached that point yet, and I'm not sure when we will. I think it is notable that due to basically the way the Russians are fighting and some kind of good Ukrainian adaptations with drones and mines and what have you, the Russian loss rate has increased this year, which I think has complicated Russia's own plans for things like, you know, adding new units, basically forcing them to put their recruitments, you know, piped directly into existing units to replace losses.
The remarks by the Kremlin, Medvedev, about regarded as provocative over nuclear weapons, and then the response from Donald Trump to order two nuclear submarines to appropriate regions. Does this touch the front line at all, John? 30 seconds.
Well, I think Medvedev shouldn't be taken particularly seriously. He's actually done the Kremlin a disservice by kind of spouting off with statements that don't necessarily reflect the Kremlin line, but are resulting in, you know, actual consequences. And I think perhaps, you know, ticking Donald Trump off and making him more likely to follow through on some of his, like, sanctions threats, for example. So, you know, whether Trump will follow through remains to be seen. The August 8th deadline is rapidly approaching.
Right.
And I would encourage the Trump administration to follow through and especially try to restrict Russian oil revenue.
John Hardy, Bill Raggio, Foundation for Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,